We want to wrap up our episode about taking care with some advice about how to look after your friends, particularly if they're struggling with a mental illness. Quick note, this next talk does touch on the topic of suicide, but it's not too dark, I promise. Bill Burnett is a comedian who has bipolar disorder. In 2017, he gave a talk called How to Connect with Depressed Friends, and he shares what it was like to feel at his very worst and which people managed to make him feel a bit better.
The one conversation that uplifted me more than any other in my life was with a woman who told me how a few days earlier she drove her Jeep Wrangler to the edge of the Grand Canyon and sat there revving the engine, thinking about driving over. Even though I had severe social anxiety in that conversation, I was totally at ease. She told me what was going on in her life in the days and months leading up, what her thoughts were at that exact moment, why she wanted to die, and why she didn't do it. We nodded and half smiled, and then it was my turn to talk about my journey. I took too many sleeping pills, and after they treated me for that, they were like, hey, we would love it if you would be our guest in the psych ward. She allowed me to be deeply depressed and have a genuine connection to another person simultaneously. Depression doesn't diminish a person's desire to connect with other people, just their ability. So in spite of what you might think, talking to friends and family living with depression can be really easy and maybe even fun. Here are some possible reasons why some of you may avoid depressed people. You might be afraid that if you talk to somebody while they're depressed, you're suddenly responsible for their well-being. You may worry that you won't know what to say, and every attempt at conversation will be awkward. Maybe you've heard that depression is contagious, and you're afraid of catching it. Maybe you see depressed people differently. You think of them as flawed or defective. Our brains aren't broken or damaged. They just work differently. I began battling depression when I was 8. So I live on both sides of this chasm, and I'm offering some guidance to help you build a bridge across it if you want to. Okay, first up, some things you might want to avoid. One of the most off-putting things you can say is, just get over it. The absence of the ability to just get over it is depression. Don't be hell-bent on fixing us. Also, things that make some people feel better may not work for us. You can't cure clinical depression by getting ice cream, which is unfortunate because that would be living the dream. Don't let a lack of bubbly happiness freak you out. People can be sad and okay at the same time. Talk to us in your natural voice, right? You don't need to put on a sad voice because we're depressed. You can be you. If you make an offer to be there for us, clearly state what you can and can't do. Give us a sense of control, like get our consent. I have a friend who, a while back, when I was having a depressive episode, reached out and said, hey, I want to check in with you. What works for you? By getting my permission, she earned my complete confidence and remains, you know, one of my best friends today. And my last suggestion is interact about not depression, aka normal stuff. I have a friend who, when people were worried about him, they would call and ask if he wanted to go shopping or help them clean out their garage. Your depressed friends could be a good source of free labor. So that's a lot of do's and don'ts and maybes, and not by any means a definitive list. The thing to remember is that they're all grounded in one guiding principle. It's what allowed the woman in the Jeep Wrangler to start me on the path to recovery without even trying. She talked to me like I belonged and contributed exactly as I was at that moment. If you talk to a depressed person as if their life is just as valuable, intense, and beautiful as yours, then there's no need to build a bridge between you because you've closed the chasm. Focus on that instead of your words, and it may be the most uplifting conversation of their life. What could that do for somebody you care about? What could it do for you? Thank you.
That's comedian Bill Burnett. You can find his full talk at TED.com. Thank you so much for listening to our show this week about taking care. This episode was produced by Katie Monteleone, James Delahousie, Fiona Guerin, and Sylvie Douglas. It was edited by Katie Simon and Rachel Faulkner. Our TED Radio production staff also includes Deba Motisham, Matthew Cloutier, and Margaret Serino. Our audio engineer is Brian Jarbo. Our theme music was written by Ramteen Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Colin Helms, Anna Phelan, Michelle Quint, Sammy Case, and Daniela Bellarezzo. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.